that that account was settled, Father, when we asked Jesus into our heart. That simple. The free gift of salvation paid for by the blood that was shed on the cross. We simply ask Jesus, come into our heart. It says in your word that you stand there and you knock. You stand there and you knock, waiting for us to let you in. So Father God, for those in this room that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, thank you. And Father, if there's any this morning that don't, I pray God by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will knock on that door and they will let you in. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning. Welcome to Wiley Methodist Church this morning. Welcome to our live stream audience. Glad that you are here. We have a new member joining this morning, Gail. Come on up. Susan, you want to come with her? That's the kind of applause I get for my sermon. You guys got to work on that. Gail, they should clap more for you than they do for me. This is Gail Nolan, and I'm going to come around here. She's been coming for a while and came to our Discovery class a couple of weeks ago and is transferring her membership to our church. And you're already a follower of Jesus Christ. And is Jesus still your Lord and Savior? And you have been baptized in that faith. And so as you come in to membership of this church, will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Yes. Amen. We welcome you.
Thank you.
And we would normally greet, but we're not gonna do that. We're gonna allow you to go and sit back down. So thank you. Welcome. If our children will come and join Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa down here for Children's Church.
Good morning, church family. Good morning, everybody in your homes. God bless you this morning as you worship the Lord. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through our app. And that really helps us to know who's not able to connect with us during the season. So if you would do that, that would be helpful. Our encounter night is this Tuesday night starting at 6:30. We will get together and we will worship, we will pray, and a good friend of several of us in this church, Jay Miller from Mosaic Church, is going to bring a word. And so he's going to invite his fellowship over here as well. So it'll be good to blend a couple of fellowships and seek the Lord together. We're setting aside time from 6:30 to 8 to do that. And if it runs over, then we just want God to have his way on Tuesday night. So y'all join us for that. If you need child care will be available for children who are in the fifth grade and younger. So come join us this Tuesday night at 6:30 for that. And then our trunk or treat on the 31st, we have a number of vehicles that have reserved a spot. We could use a few more. So if you'd like to sacrifice your vehicle for that night or help pass out candy, you can sign up either through our app or online. And don't forget that our Operation Christmas Child shoebox campaign is still in session through, I guess, maybe the middle of November. So grab a shoebox and fill that, or you can bill one online, or you can donate to shipping for those boxes. Hopefully some of you, most of you, all of you have found our prayer booklets. Have you found those? They're outside in the atrium on either end by the door. And we are in day 10 of our 40 days of prayer for the election. And this little resource was published, I believe, in 2012. So it was used for that election. It was used for 2016 election and, again, this election. And, you know, last week I shared the scripture for that day and the prayer for that day, last Sunday, and it talked about joy, and Jeff's been preaching on joy. Well, guess what? Today's scripture and prayer talk about joy as well. You know, like Jeff said last week, maybe God wants us to get it. You know, maybe he really does. I mean, think about this. 12 years ago, this resource was put together. This person didn't contact Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, what are you preaching on? You know, on October the 4th. So I want to read this, and then we're going to pray into this scripture. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And here's the prayer. Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Therefore, let us rejoice as a nation and as a people who have been blessed beyond all that we could ask or conceive. Let us pray each day for your divine guidance, O Lord, and never forget your favor. Thank you, Lord, that you welcome us to your throne of grace to receive your blessing. The joy of the Lord's our strength, church. Not the joy that the world provides, not the joy that alcohol and drugs provide, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's pray and ask God to prepare our hearts to receive the word this morning. Father, we thank you, God, that the joy, your joy, is our strength. And Father, your desire for us is to be a joyful people. And Lord, I just thank you for our pastor who discerned this direction in this season. Lord, I believe you really want us to understand that. You really want us to get that. So Father, this morning, as we continue to worship, Lord, would you open up our hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us this morning? God, I just pray against distractions this morning. Lord, I pray against what the enemy wants to do to rob the word and plant it in our hearts this morning. He's just waiting to do that. Lord, I just pray that you supernaturally touch us this morning and we walk out of this building as a joyful people. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling. I pray for those who are in despair this morning, those who are discouraged. I just pray that you restore what the locusts have devoured in the hearts of the people this morning. Oh, Father, we need you. Need you desperately. Lord, I lift up our president to you this morning as he recovers from the virus. And Lord, I pray that you protect us from the virus in this house. Lord, I just thank you for the wisdom that you've given us to take precautions, but at the same time, Jesus, you are our healer. So would you protect us as we move forward? Oh God, we love you, we worship you, we adore you. Thank you for those, God, that you have sent to our fellowship to be a part of this body. And Lord, I just thank you that the baptismal waters are stirring. You're bringing people into the kingdom. I just thank you for the opportunity to celebrate that again this morning. Oh, Father, we love you, praise you. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, you can bring your offering forward if you'd like to do that. You can also give through our app or get through Pushpay.
Thank you.
a time that comes when all that's left is Jesus. There'll be nothing else anyone can turn to. I don't know how far away that is, but it feels like it's soon. Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I see, and when Your eyes are on
Your grace abounds.
Welcome again. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we especially are glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and through his people. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit. Is anybody feeling the Holy Spirit this morning? Amen. If you are our guest, for our members as well, you can go to our Wiley Methodist app, and there is a place where you can register that you were with us that Billy mentioned earlier, and would love for you to do that. If you will turn with me to 1 Peter. Robert, that's right before 2 Peter, if it'll help you find that one. Thank you. Okay. 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I think Peter's talking to us, you think? These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. We ask you to speak in power and authority and to transform us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series today, joyful, joyful. I am amazed, not only, Billy, not only, what'd you say? This was published in 12, so not only 8 years ago for this particular day was the prayer about joy, but I'm also using this exact passage in my sermon today. Just like last week, I used the exact same passage for that day. Man, God is indeed big and good, and I think he's talking to us, church. Today's message is the power of joy. The power of joy. You remember Nehemiah, we don't read Nehemiah probably that often, but in Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah said, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Did anybody remember the song? The little kid song that you grew up. I wish I'd have got you to figure out the chords. Terry, I'd have you play it. The joy, sing it with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's kind of high, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You remember that? Did anybody learn that growing up? And remember the verse? Ah, ha, ha, ha. You remember that one? Well, I won't make you do that one. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. You know, by the way, that was found in Nehemiah. I used to think Nehemiah was the shortest man in the Bible. Nehemiah. But I found out, somebody told me later, no, it was Bildad the Shuhite. Shuhite. Man, I'm going to have to warm y'all. I need a warm-up act is what I need. That's what I need. Last week, I was talking, I had not planned on talking about this, but I started talking about the little the little man, the little face, you remember? That you dragged the whiskers up on and how things cling to you and stuff. And I couldn't remember the name. Do you remember that? Well, during church last week, someone during the service, during my sermon, they looked it up and they texted me. I didn't see it until later. They texted me that it was Woolly Willy. Go ahead, and many of you knew this. Woolly Willy. Y'all remember that? So I had this text, and then when I got home that day, I saw the text, and I also had several emails with this picture telling me, Woolly Willy. I talk about Jesus and the cross and all this stuff, and I get nothing, Marv. But I talk about Woolly Willy, and everybody remembers. So, and then I got, a couple of days later, in the mail, someone ordered me a Woolly Willy. My grandsons are going to love this. Anyway, I'm not through. And then later in the week, someone actually bought themselves a Woolly Willy and did my portrait. Go ahead and throw it up there. Now, Dale, I know they all know who you are now, buddy. And I said to Dale, I said, no, that's not me. It's the whiskers are not gray. And he said, sorry, they didn't have a senior version. No senior edition for me. I tell you, if I just throw in a little Woolly Willy every week, y'all will listen to what I have to say. I said this last week, but isn't it good to laugh together? I mean, I don't know. There's just something in these times that we find ourselves in with all the bad news and the angry people always crushing us from every side. It's just good to laugh, isn't it? Man, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I said in my email this week, I was kind of being silly, but I said, which I know is unlike me, but I said that it's the Christian superpower. It's the Christian superpower. And when Jesus says, go be the light of the world, that's what he's talking about. Because, you know, snarling, angry Christians are not the light of the world. No, joyful Christians. That's the joy of the Lord is our strength. All right, so we're going to jump into this scripture. And I'm kind of taking this scripture from Peter and also John 15. I'm going to kind of weave these two together. Man, as you talk about joy, there's so many scriptures that we can pull from. First of all, Jesus Christ is the source of true joy. Jesus Christ is the source of true joy. Now listen, this passage we just read out of 1 Peter. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope. And so through Christ, he's given us this new hope through the resurrection of Jesus into an inheritance that can't perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven in this. And so he just defined what this is, this new inheritance that we have, this inheritance, this living hope, this new birth that we have that can't be taken from us. In that, we greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice. And Jesus is the source of that. Shake your head if you're with me. Jesus is the source. It's not our stuff. It's not our circumstances. It's not if everybody likes us. It's not any of those things. No, it is Jesus and what he has provided for us. That's the source of true joy. Secondly, listen, this is important. If it's Christ's joy you seek, you can only have it by having him. Hello, is this on, Steve? If it's Christ's joy you seek, you can only have it by having him. Nothing else provides it. So we just talked about that Jesus has given us this new birth through his resurrection and in this inheritance that we can't lose. And we greatly rejoice in that. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And listen to this. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Because, and here's what that means. Faith. We don't see him. We can't see him. We can't touch him. But we know. You can have all the argument. If you're someone that doesn't believe in Christ, you can have all the arguments in the world and present those to me, and you're not going to convince me that Jesus isn't alive and that Jesus doesn't love me, because I've experienced it. And because of that, we Christians, we should be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, because all the rest of it doesn't matter. All the rest of it doesn't matter. So, if it's Christ's joy you seek, you can only have it by having him. In John 15, these are the words of Christ, and he says that I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's this relationship, there's this abiding in Christ. And then he goes on in verse 11, John 15:11, he says this. He talks about being the vine and us being the branches. Then he says, I've told you this so that my joy, Jesus says, may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So he's saying, abide in me and I will abide in you. And because of that, you should have great joy. I'm transferring my joy to you and that your joy would be complete. Now, it's interesting. Guess when Jesus wrote these words, when he spoke these words? Right before he went to the garden. Right before he prayed, Lord, take this cup from me. He knew, and remember, I've said this many times, but this is vitally important that Jesus knew what he was walking into in Jerusalem. And yet it says that he was leading the way. He had told his disciples, here's what's going to happen. Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He's going to be falsely accused. He's going to be beaten and whipped, and he's going to die. And then on the third day, he's going to rise from the dead. He told them this, and then it says Jesus was leading the way into Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. And it was so he finds himself at this last moment before he goes to the garden and he begins to pray. He knows what's going to happen. He begins to pray, Lord, isn't there another way? Take this cup from me. Isn't there another way? But then he goes on to say, not my will, but yours be done. It's important that right before that moment in the garden, he talks about abiding in him. And that he's giving us great joy, and that he has great joy. And we've talked about Hebrews chapter 12, where it says it was the joy set before him that allowed him to endure the cross. There it is. So even in the midst of great suffering that he knew was coming, he endured the cross with great joy. His great joy was you and I being reconciled to the Father. He's transferring that joy into us. And he wants our joy to be complete. It means that to be complete means that nothing else can take it from us. Circumstances can't take it from us. Disease and illness can't take it from us. Tragedy and grief can't take it from us. Coronavirus can't take it from us. Mean people can't take it from us, because it's complete. It is the joy that Christ has transferred to us. And we can't have it unless we have him. It's important, church. It's important. There's so many different places in the Gospels, and especially in Acts, where it talks about the transformation of people who receive Christ. This is just one of many, many in Acts chapter 8. Philip, now this is right after Stephen was stoned. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. Stephen, and it says that Saul, who later became Paul, was there collecting the coats of the people that were stoning Stephen for sharing the gospel, and Paul was giving approval to it. We later know what happened to Saul, he became Paul and became a mighty weapon in the God's army. And so Philip has seen Stephen be stoned. And then it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Right there tells you the boldness. Philip says, he saw, hey, sharing the gospel can get you killed. And yet, he goes down into this city in Samaria to proclaim Christ. And then it says, with shrieks, evil spirits came out, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. And here it is. So there was great joy in that city. See, when the gospel comes into a place and comes into a person, joy follows. At least it should. Joy follows the sharing of the gospel. When Christ comes in our heart, joy follows. And so finally, Jesus Christ is the source of true joy. We can't have that joy unless we have Him. And thirdly, so choose joy. Choose joy. I mean, it's really easy. I mean, and here's the passage that's in our prayer guide today. 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always. Now, this is important as well. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you know it's the Lord's will for us to be joyful, to pray and to praise, to give thanks in all circumstances? Did you know that's the will of God for you? That's His heart for you? In Isaiah, another example of this, the ransomed, Isaiah 35, the ransomed of the Lord will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, sorrow and sighing will flee away. And he starts that with saying, the ransomed of the Lord. Who's he talking about? You and I. We've been ransomed by the Lord. So, we should have everlasting joy. Gladness and joy will overtake us. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Last week, on a whim, I saw this at the last minute. Remember, how many of you got a rubber band last week? I got rid of a few rubber bands. A few of you got rubber bands. How's it going? Has it switched wrists any this week? Well, after I did that, if you weren't here last week, let me bring you up to speed. I ran across a man. He's a pastor. His name's Will Bowen. And several years ago, he did this for his church, and it's kind of exploded and going around worldwide. I just found out about it last week. But he calls it the Complaint-Free Challenge. And the goal is you take a purple band. Last week we did the poor man Jeff version and did the rubber band. But we, thanks to the Louder Milks, they were felt sorry for me, and they bought everybody purple bands this week. Yes. Yeah, you get clapped like y'all clap like you clap for me. Yeah. And so we have purple bands, but here's the deal. Well, here's what you do. You put the purple band on one of your wrists, And you wear it on that wrist for every day. You try to get to 21 days. And if you get to 2 days and you complain, and it's not thinking complain, it's speaking. You know, we used to, I'm not sure you can say this from the pulpit, but when our girls were little, we used to say, stop being a whiny hiney. Anybody else say that to their kids? And well, sometimes I still say that, Jordan. But sometimes they say it to me. So you wear it on a wrist, and if you complain, if you verbally complain about anything, your days start over, and you switch it to the other wrist, and you start counting at one again. And I want to show you, I mentioned this last week, I want to show you, it's pretty quick. This is this pastor who started this. This is his journey. It took him 6 months to do it. Go ahead and show that video, Lee. I like Will for several reasons. Number one, I have more hair than he has. Number two, he was bold enough to show that a pastor can struggle too. And also, he has bad shoulders. I like that about him as well. So, we have out on the on both ends and in the center, thanks to our good friends, the Loudermilks, we have purple bracelets. So I encourage you. There they are, purple bracelets. Again, there's some in some baskets out on each side of the sanctuary. Notice this is on my right hand. Did you notice in the video every time he went back to one, it was on the other hand? Was anybody paying attention to that? And there was a couple of times he got up to like 16, 17 days and went back to one. Boy, that's got to hurt. Jesus is the source of joy. We can't have that until we have him. He wants us to choose joy. He wants us to be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, just a few things that came to my mind as I'm thinking about our struggle perhaps with joy. We choose joy when we surrender everything to Christ that we can't control, which is pretty much everything, right? Does anybody else struggle with control? When we try to, we want everything to be in this nice, tidy little package. But when things, and then it's not going to be. When we surrender that control to him, and I'll give you the Reader's Digest version, but the story of the Panamanians that hunt monkeys, I've shared that before. They hollow out a gourd and a specific hole and they attach it to the ground and they put nuts and fruit in there and the monkeys reach in the hole and they grab this food and they're holding onto it and they can't get out and it's lunchtime for the Panamanians. And all they have to do to receive life is let go. And they can draw their hand out and they live. What do we hold on to? What are we holding on to? So we can choose joy when we surrender those things, when we put others' needs above our own. You know, one of the things that I have learned about myself and I've learned about just people in general, self-centeredness comes easy and natural to us. I mean, it just does. But I see this a lot of times, you know, in marriage, when people are struggling with marriage, it's like, we're focused on what, like for Cheryl and I, it'd be like what Cheryl is or isn't doing for me. And if she was doing the same as what I am or not doing for her. And when we're in that mindset, man, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. When we begin to shift that, it's like, how can I be a husband to Cheryl? And how can I fulfill her? How can I bless her? And same for her to me. When you make that shift, it's not just in marriage, but in life, when we begin to see how can we bless others rather than what is happening to us, it's something about that. It can shift us into joy. When we forgive others and even forgive ourselves, that can be a way that we receive and choose joy. So I want to just, as we keep that spirit, as we come to this time of the Lord's Supper, you know, speaking of putting others' needs before your own, I say this most of the time when we have this meal, but this is a costly meal. You think it was a pleasant experience. The cross was a pleasant experience for Christ. He did that for you and I. He sacrificed himself, putting us, his bride, before himself. And he, that night, and I can just imagine, he's sitting around the table and having this meal with these men who he had spent around 3 years with, and he knows that one of the, did you know that Jesus washed Judas's feet? And right after that, he told Judas what he was going to do. Think about that for a second. He knows this guy's going to betray him to death. He knows this Peter who talked a big game. If everybody else fails you, I'll be with you, Jesus. And he said, no, you're going to deny you even know me 3 times before the rooster crows. And yet, so he's sitting around and he knows all except John in this room are going to scatter in out of fear. And he's sitting around this table with them and knowing what's going to happen. And he takes the bread. And he blesses it. He breaks the bread. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Stay in that scene. Stay in that moment. And then he takes the cup. And he says, this is my blood of the new covenant. You know, they had always sacrificed animals to fulfill the law. But Jesus had been proclaimed as the Lamb of God. It's a once and done sacrifice. And he says, this blood is the blood of the new covenant. Take and eat and drink of this and remember me. Christ our Lord invites us all to this table. If you love Jesus and he is your Lord and Savior, and if you repent of your sin, you're welcome to this table. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a member of any church. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sin, you're welcome to this table. It starts as a place. This is not a table for perfect people that have all of our act together. It's a place for redeemed people, forgiven people. And so the first step to forgiveness is when we confess. So I want you, if you would, just bow your head and in your own heart, confess your own personal sin before a holy and loving God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving and our praise team and sound team would come forward. Marv. As I said earlier, Christ our Lord invites us to his table. If you love Jesus and if you call him as Lord and Savior, you are welcome. There will be four stations. You'll be given one of the cups that has a cracker in it, and the other cup will have the juice in it. If you are at home, I encourage you, we each month we will have available the portable communion sets that you can come and pick up at any time. We would love for you to be able to partake at home as well. If you do not wish to partake this morning, that is okay as well. We hope that you feel welcome to come. Jesus has invited us. Come.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me. Stand in my defense, Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word. It's your blood. We can wash away our sins. We can make us all again. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Jesus.
be seated. We've got two more baptisms today. Now you can give a real clap for that. So if you'll hold tight, we're gonna do a baptism and then we will dismiss.
Put the old account back, Lee.
There was a time on earth, and in the book of heaven,
while the kids are coming in, let me say this. We bring the kids in for our baptisms because we want them to ask questions. So moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, if they ask questions, you guys can visit with them about that. You can also let me or Carlene know, and we'll visit with them as well. And I like that outfit. You're looking sharp, buddy. All right, are they everybody's in?
Everybody's in.
All right, Ari, come on out here, girl. All right. Let me get all my stuff here. Okay, can you stand on that top one for me, Ari? Ari Fisher comes this morning. She's already given her heart to Jesus. She comes this morning to make it official. We're going to have to get you a smaller bracelet, aren't we? You're going to have trouble keeping that on there. So Ari, we talked about these questions that we would ask today. And the first one is we talked about that word sin and how we're all sinners and we need Jesus. And so do you admit and confess that you are a sinner?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes, sir.
To come and live into your heart?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You want to receive that faith in baptism.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you will step right down there and you'll sit, hold your nose. Ari, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. If y'all can scrunch in here, I'm going to pray for Ari. If you can get a hand on her, if you can't, just somewhere close, somebody in front of you. There we go. One of the things, Ari, we talked about was that God wants to live inside of you, and you've invited him in through his Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray for that as well. Lord, I am just so blown away that, Father, Jesus, you, when the disciples were rebuking the children for coming to you, you said, "Let the little children come to me." And I know Ari's not a little child, but she's still small, God. And I thank you for coming into her heart. I pray, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit live inside of her. I thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice. You had Ari on your mind when you went to the cross because you love her. Bless her. Bless his family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You can go get dried off and send that big guy next. It fell. My mic fell. Aiden Edick, you come just like Ari just did. We talked this week, and you come. We've talked about this word sin. Do you confess and admit that you are a sinner? And you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and forgive you of that sin. Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith. All right. If you will sit right there, sit down, hold your nose. Aiden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Y'all, same thing. And y'all gather up in here close. Aiden, you and Ari got a lot of people that love you, including Jesus. Lord, thank you also for having Aiden on your mind when you went to the cross. You went and you suffered for his sake because you love him. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside of him. He has opened the door. He has welcomed you. May he grow up to be a strong and mighty man for you, Jesus. Bless him and this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if you'll rise for the benediction, can you stand, please? Stand if you're able. Go in the power of joy. Remember, you can't have the joy of Jesus without Jesus. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then second, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.